Psalm 119, beginning verse 41. I've got to preface this a little bit. It's a brand new sermon. You're not getting something that I've preached a whole lot. But I did preach it Sunday because I wanted to have a little bit of experience with it. It's four pages. And I usually preach off of a page like that with 3 points and a poem. And I got halfway through it Sunday, and I looked up at the clock, and it was 12:05. Now, the pastor said, "You made the ugliest face when I looked at the clock." So I stopped it and then finished it Sunday night. So I'm going to try and get through, so enough said about that. Beginning Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, as we look in this portion of Scripture, may we gain some insight to it and principles that would help us to be better servants, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about four ways to trust God. We learn to trust the Lord, and experience is the greatest teacher. The more you learn to trust God in small things, the more God will use you in bigger things. And you can trust him to meet needs. I got to tell you this story. I just told you I was at Home Missions Conference, and that's where they bring church planters in, and they get up and beg for money. It's good because they got new churches throughout Washington State and Idaho and Montana. One of those churches is our church in Frenchtown, Montana, and so on. But I learned one thing. You better leave your checkbook at home, because I came home and my checkbook was almost down to zero. And it hadn't been that way for a long time. But God is so good. When I got home, I had some checks in the mail to the dollar of what I gave out there. And so God's good, and that's exciting when you can brag on God. I'm nothing. I'm just a pawn in the hand of God. But when you learn to be a pawn, the master can work miracles. But we got to be putty in his hands. Amen? I'm learning. I haven't achieved yet, but I think I'm getting there. I've been saved next month. I got saved in November 1966, and it gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. Now, how can we trust God? Number one, we trust God in the way that we wait. Wait upon the Lord. Verse 43 says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." When you hope for something, it's something that hasn't happened yet. Therefore, we're waiting for something in anticipation. And we wait upon God. Now, while we're waiting on God, we're not meant to be idle. We're to be active in the work of God. And I sort of compare our life like this. Are you like the one sitting in the doctor's office with the crowd in there? And if you've ever had to wait at a doctor's office, you know what I mean. The doctor sets your appointment at 2 o'clock, and if you're in and out by 4 or 4:30, you've made progress. You learn to wait. And what do we do while we're sitting there waiting? Well, you don't have a whole lot of choice. You pick up the women's magazines on how to have a baby and things like that. They don't put any men's magazines, no sports magazines, no race car magazines. It's Home and Garden and things like that. So you pretty much, you just sit there and you're idle. Now compare that to being in the delivery room when a baby's coming. Nobody in there is sitting idle. There's a lot of activity going on, amen. And you ladies know more about that than us men do. Nobody's just sitting back and taking it easy. And that's sort of what it's like here. When we wait on the Lord, it's not a matter of just going in, sitting down, and taking it easy and propping our feet up, but it's being active in the work of God while we wait on God to do that special thing with us. And God wants to do something special with all of us. Every person in here, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, God wants to do something. And I'm thrilled to death, Wyatt, to see your progress. How long have you been saved? About 5 to 7 months. He's about 15 light years ahead of most people. And God bless you, Wyatt. Don't ever look back. Serve God. While you're waiting on God, you may not know what's going to happen next week, next year, whatever. You just get in. So what word is in your mouth while you're waiting for God? We're all waiting on something. Do you have doubt and bitterness and anger? I'm amazed at how many Christian people are just bitter people. I was sort of like that when I was young. My daughter had a friend over one time. She said, "Your dad looks so mad." Well, I wasn't mad. I just looked mad. I hope that I've overcome that. I try to be on an upbeat. I try to be that way in my own life. I try to do that to other people. Levity, joking, as you can tell, I'm a big joke most of the time, but I like to see people laugh, and I like to laugh, but it wasn't always that way for me. So do you have doubt, a bitterness, and anger at God, anger at other people, anger at your job, they're not promoting you like you thought they ought to promote you? Or in school, you're not getting the grades that you thought you ought to be getting in school. And things sometimes just don't go our way. How do you react when things are bad? That's the real test. Or do you have faith, joy, and happiness? Even in spite of all the problems that come our way, you can have joy in your heart, a smile on your face, and enjoy things. I never realized that when I preached this message, I mentioned to the people, I said, in my life, I've never had any real negative things in my life or what I considered to be real testings. I said, I feel like God has graced me without things like that. And then I told some illustrations, and I never thought about it, but I was talking about a place of Christian ministry I worked where a guy told a lie about me to get me in trouble. And I don't know that it was a total lie, but the whole thing was to get me in trouble. And Connie could read people like a book. And she told me, said, "He did that." I said, "Oh, he wouldn't do that." Well, shortly after that, he came up and apologized, said, "It was me," and that. And then the church I pastored my senior year in college, I talked about the people that were members there. I had two sisters and their friend. And the day that I candidated and they voted on me and we were going home to one of the sisters' houses for dinner. After dinner, we were headed home. Connie said, "They're going to be trouble." And they were trouble. I lasted 9 months, and they called for a men's meeting. Now, I was young. I was immature. Part of what they were complaining about, I would probably complain about the same thing now, but I was young and hard-headed, and I was a pastor, and God called me to do it, and I didn't want to listen to anybody. But anyway, I told her, I said, "Well, they wanted to do something, undo what I had done." I said, "Well, you got it." I said, "Tomorrow I'll be out of here." And the dumbest thing I ever did, I left. Packed up and left. I had nowhere to go, no income, and been in debt ever since, almost. But I never thought about that being a negative. And then the preacher got up Sunday night, and he told the people, said, "Brother Joe, said, never had any trials or real testings." Said his wife was on dialysis for 5.5 years, and that. And the church, and the guy lied about. I never thought of those as testings. I just thought of it as that's things happen in life. And I don't want to let things like that get me down. You can. But you know what? If somebody can do that to you and keep you down like that, you're under somebody else's control. Now, I never felt like I was spiritually adept at that. I think I was just too dumb. I used to tell people if you wanted to insult me, you had to tap me on the shoulder and say, "This is an insult." Connie'd get it, but I wouldn't. It'd just go over my head. And that's why I liked everybody, and I thought everybody liked me. I think I had a lot of enemies now. But you know what? I'd much rather be like that, call it stupidity, naivety, whatever you want to call it. I just do not like to be mad at people, except Connie. She made me mad. Okay. But you're allowed to do that when you're married. We were married for 47 years. You can do things like that. Okay. But when we're truly trusting God, then our faith will demonstrate itself through our choice of words. It doesn't take very long to be around someone to find out where they're at spiritually. Oh, we can put on a good front and say the right things. But let me tell you, your attitude speaks a whole lot more than your words. Uh-huh. Young people, yeah, it's true for you, but you know what, adults, it's true for all of us. The older you get, the more of a front you can put on, but it still comes through our choice of words in how we talk and how we walk. We can talk the talk, that's easy, but the walk that you do, the life that you live, the godly characteristics that you express in your life are far more important than what you say. So what would you have said in years past if you were Noah pounding a nail? Took Noah a long time to build that ark, didn't it? You know, I'm impatient. Most of the time when I'm doing things, I want it done yesterday. Noah must have been a very patient man. Of course, if I had God come down and speak to me face to face, I think I would have had a little more patience. But he had it, and he waited. And all the world said, "Noah, what are you doing? We've never had a drop of rain. We don't even know what it's like. And you're building this big ark, and year after year after year after year after year, Noah waited and worked and served God." What about Joseph in prison, counting the bars on the prison cell? Now, I don't know if they had bars back then. They probably had taverns. I don't know about bars. But they had prisons because Joseph was in one. Through no fault of his own. As a matter of fact, he was doing the honorable thing. When Potiphar's wife tried to make a play for him, he... wait on the Lord. I imagine he had some good days and probably some bad days in prison. There's nothing wrong with having some bad days, but don't let them control your life. Never make a major decision when you're in the pits of despair. That's where people make the mistake. Well, God must be it. No, God's not always in it. Sometimes the testing comes just to prove us, to see where we're going and what we'll do. David, can you imagine David, little old David, picking up the rocks to go out against the giant Goliath? And all the brothers and all the other soldiers said, "You're going against Goliath with pebbles, with stones?" I mean, here are the army of Israel, and we're scared to death of the guy. Look at the size of his sword. Look at the height of his stature. And you're going to pick up a few little stones? And David said, "Is there not a cause?" He knew the God that made the giant. He knew the God that let the giant have the sword. And the God is in more control of the sword than the giant was.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
David went out with that sling and tossed it around and around. How does the song go? Round and around. I can't sing. But and he let it fly and boy, it knocked him down. Can you just see David going out and that big old sword that had all of the army of Israel scared to death, and David probably had to take both hands just to pick the thing up. And quack! Now, I won't tell you what happened because it's too bloody. But the army of Israel saw what happened, and do you know what? I think they became bitter and envious and jealous and aggravated that David went out and did the job that they would not do, even though they knew God was on their side. So don't let a bunch of little pipsqueaks along the way, even if they're much bigger than you, draw you down. These all inspired faith in spite of their circumstances. Proper waiting brings a greater capacity for service. You know, I have also been an assistant pastor at Suburban Baptist in Indianapolis, where Brother Jennifer's dad pastored. Only this was a long, long, long time before he pastored there. But do you know what? We had people that worked for me in the bus ministry back then. I was a bus director and visitation and whatever else. Jesse, about what you are here, that's what I was there. If it needed to be done, I was the one in order to do it. I enjoyed every minute of it. But some people worked for me in the bus ministry, never missed a bus visitation, never missed a prayer meeting or any other services or any other activities. I mean, they were, on the surface, the cream of the crop. And you would have thought, my, if we just had a church full of people like that, if we had a church full of people like that, you wouldn't have many other people in there. I can't judge a person's motive. Only God can do that. But I know this, they were a pain in the neck. Not everybody that is thoroughly active. Sometimes people that waited and just sort of sat back, they were ones that accomplished more for God. And you know what? When I go back to that church now, the ones that I just described that were active in everything, not to be found, not only in that church, but not in any other church. And their kids have gone hog wild. They rebelled against them because they saw the hypocrisy at home. Some of the people that I thought didn't amount to much back then, all they did was come and fill the pew. Every once in a while got involved in some little activity somewhere or another like that. And I was young. Remember I told you how stupid I was back then? And I thought those people are just sort of taking up space. But do you know what? This is 40 some years later. They're still taking up space. They're still coming to church. They're still tithing. They still occasionally bring a visitor or something or another. They've never been hyperactive like some of the others, but some of the others can't be found anywhere. And I tell you, I would take a church full of people that are faithful day in and day out and put a little bit to the plow than the one that wants to get out and whip the daylights out of the horse. Take my word for it, works that way. Isaiah 40:31, we all know that verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Number two, the way we walk. So we trust in God in the way we wait. We trust God in the way we walk. Verse 44 and 45 says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. It says, so I shall keep thy law continually. That means without interruption. You know, we see people, and we've had it in our church and every other church, where boy, they'll come in, and I mean, they're just faithful as can be, and then all of a sudden some little thing goes wrong in their life and we don't see them for weeks or months or maybe even years. Now, I'm always thankful for people like that that come back. The problem is they ought to come back sooner. When you don't want to be at church and when you don't feel like reading your Bible, that's when you need it the most. And what do people do? Well, God hadn't done this for me, so I'm going to just turn my back on him. Oh, they wouldn't say that, but they do that. Every moment is preparation for the next moment in God's plan. I don't think any of us in here, when we got saved, knew the end from the beginning. Now, as we've been saved 40-some years and studied God's Word, I know the end from the beginning right now. I've read the last chapter. I know how it ends. And I want to be on the right side when it ends. And I think the end is coming closer and closer and closer. And as that day draws near, we ought to be more faithful and more alert and more observant of God and His Word. So every moment prepares us for the next. When I got saved in November. God called me to preach in February and of 66 and 67. And I started Bible college in 67. That was sort of natural because I'd just gotten out of the Navy. And the transitional time, I I had a job. I was going to go and I was going to be an electronics technician. You know where I had a job? RCA Victor, back making little portacolor sets when they first came out. This is way back. You guys, you don't even understand what these are. They're over your head. Little portacolor sets about that big, and I was going to make those things. And then God called me to preach. And you know what? Today I couldn't tell you the first thing about electronics. When it comes to electricity, about the only thing I know how to turn the light switch on and off, or to turn the key on and start the car. God changed my whole life in a quick way. You see, we don't see the big picture. And we don't understand always the small parts. You see, the big picture is sort of like a jigsaw. God created the big picture. He knows what it looks like. It's sort of like the architect of a building. In his mind, he sees the completed building with all the roof and everything done and all the landscaping. But do you know what? The plumbers, the only thing the plumbers see are those pipes running through. The only thing electricians see are the wires running along that cause the lights to come on. The roofers, all they see is up here after everything else, the structure's up, they put the roof. You get my picture? We don't have to know the whole picture to be effective. We need to find that little bit of the puzzle that's ours and be effective and faithful in doing that. Knowing God's word will reveal the full picture. We want to just come to church, have Pastor Jerry preach, and he preaches great messages on second coming of Christ. And I tell you, it's a thrill for me to come to church. I take notes. I don't always do it, but I try and carry a notebook. And I outline these sermons and some of the illustrations he used. Because I'm still growing in the Lord. And I want to know more and more about it. And so on. When I go to other pastors and hear them preach, I mean, I want to absorb it like a sponge. But to know the full picture, we're not going to know the full picture until the trumpet sounds. And then we're going to know firsthand. But until then, it's by faith. We're living and walking by faith. And faith means leaving the big picture as God's concern. I don't need to worry about what's going on in the world. Politically, I am becoming apathetic. I do not care. I wish Washington, D.C. would just sever itself and drop off in the Atlantic Ocean. And every congressman, every senator, and president, and vice president, I'd be thrilled to death if that would happen. I don't expect it to happen. But you know what? I don't want to listen to them. I'm fed up with the whole stinking thing. Let me tell you, America is probably going to go down the tube in our lifetime. Kids, I hate to tell you, but we don't have a whole lot to look forward to that two generations ago did. 10 generations ago did. But God's still God. God's still got a purpose for your life. There are some souls need to be saved. God wants us to love and adore Him all along the way. So are we trusting God in the way we walk? Trusting God in the way we wait? And are we trusting God in the way we witness? Verse 46 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. We'll speak of thy testimonies before kings and not be ashamed. Do you know what? For most of us to witness to someone, we've got to say, Lord, now, If they come to my house and knock on my door, I'll witness to them. Or if they just somehow indicate to me when I'm talking to them that they're not saved and that they want to be saved, then I'll talk to them. I mean, we put all these prerequisites and conditions on it that we never talk to unsaved people. Oh, we talk to them. We talk to them about basketball and football and all the other things like that. But who do you talk to about the Lord? This verse says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. Who does this remind you of in the Bible? Number of people. Number one, Paul. Remember, Paul was stoned for death and left outside the city. And they all thought, we're done with him. What happened next day? Paul was right back in the same city preaching the gospel again. God wasn't through with him yet. Paul spoke to Felix, the king, and to Agrippa. And he had a good testimony. And one of them said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The other one said to him, much learning's made you mad. But I'd rather be on Paul's side than their side. When they stand before God in eternity, their blood will not be required at Paul's hands. Daniel, thrown in the lion's den. Said, you can't pray. You know what's coming to America? It's going to be where they're going to have the call to prayer for Islam. But if you pray in the name of Jesus, already in places today, it is hate speech because you name Jesus and you say he's the only way. Well, he is the only way. He's always been the only way. And Satan has always tried to confuse and duplicate everything that's good and honest. Are we a Daniel? We're going to fling open our windows and say, I'm going to pray in the name of my God, and I'm going to pray that homosexuals will be saved, that they'll be convicted of their sin, that abortionists will see the error of their way. Most of them are not. But we better be willing to pray for it, and we better be willing to witness to them when we have opportunity. Who knows? Maybe somewhere along the line, one or two of them might get saved. Wouldn't it be great to get someone saved out of something like that? I always like it. You know, the king didn't want to put Daniel in the lion's den. He fretted about it. He couldn't sleep all night. And he come back and he said, oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? Fear not, O king. Fear not, I'm still here. The lions' mouths have been shut. Is anything too hard for God? Not if you believe God's word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the big idol. The old king at that time said, heat her up 7 times hotter. So hot that the ones throwing the young Hebrew kids in there, that when they threw them in the furnace, it killed the ones that threw them in. And the old king looked inside. We all know the story from our childhood. Well, didn't we just throw 3 men in? But I see 4. And the old king knew that the 4th one was the Son of God. No, you can't go anywhere without God. If you're saved, he'll go through the fire with you. He'll go through the floods. He'll go through the joy and everything else. Nehemiah faced oppositions from government leaders. And we're probably going to face that here in the future too. I would not be surprised. I wish we'd paved the parking lot a long time ago, because we may not get to enjoy that a whole lot. You know, they may come take it away from us. because someone like me or Pastor Jared gets up here and we preach against something unacceptable. And they can't get us, but what are they going to do? They're going to tax us out of existence. Do you realize what the property taxes on this property would be if they come in and decided to tax it? No, this is not going out on the radio. I don't want to give them any idea. But that's how they're going to do it. Take our 501c3 status away because of hate speech. You better prepare for it. We're living in some dire days. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. I mentioned that earlier. Esther said, if I die, I die. When you're asked to do something, maybe a little bit scary, think about Esther. This young woman, beautiful woman, the one that the king chose to be his wife. And she said, it's not allowed for me to come in and talk to the king unless he calls me. Mordecai said, get in there. She said, if I die, I die. I like Bible stories like that. Yes, gives me encouragement, you know, because we serve the same God that all these people did. Who do you see in days like this? Willing to tell it like it is, to take a stand regardless of the cost, fighting political correctness. Thank God you've got a pastor that will do it with the backbone of steel. And I think we've got deacons that'll stand behind him. And I think for the most part, we as a congregation are going to be right there backing him up. Even if it means we go to jail, we go together. What is your testimony? What have you done for God in recent time? If I were to ask you to go home tonight and write an essay, kids have to do that in school. I think you still write essays. Guys, do you know what an essay is? If we had to write an essay on our Christian life, say for the last 6 months or a year or 2 or 3 years, amen, what would we have to put in there? Amen. Is there anybody in there that you could say, yeah, I led this person to the Lord? Or at least witness to them. Right. Maybe they didn't get saved, but I witnessed to them. I was faithful to church. Amen. You know, a lot of people can't even put that in their essay. You know, they spend more time away from church, figuring out how to keep from going to church. Now, I know you've never done that. Oh, backslidden me. I've been there and done that. Tried to justify reasons in your mind from time to time that especially when Connie was sick, and you know, Connie just didn't have the strength. I'll be truthful, there's a lot of times I stayed home with her just because I'd backslidden. I don't like to miss church. And there's very few times now that I don't. Even when I'm not preaching, I go to church. Even if it's a preacher that I'm not real crazy about, I go to church. Now, Pastor Jerry would never have anybody in here he's not crazy about, but I'll be truthful with you. Some of them I'm not real crazy about. But I still sit right back there in my pew, and I don't have a negative word to say. You'll never know who they are. Could be me. I mean, I do have a little bit of smarts. So what's your testimony and what have you done for God? Think about that. Why not just go home and write a little bit of an essay about my Christian life for the last 6 months or the last year? And just see what kind of evidence you could put in there to show that you're serving God. Just go to church, live a respectable life. That's what a lot of people do. But don't put any expectation on me. Ooh, that's scary. What God has done in your life shows your faith. Amen. Speak of your testimonies and do not be silent.
Amen.
Good. We ought to one another. We ought to practice on one another. Say, God's been so good to me this week. Now I've got a short memory. I don't think I told you this at the beginning of the, but I told one of the men out there, you know, I went to a home missions conference and I come back and my checkbook was empty. When I picked up my mail, I had checks in the mail when I came home to the exact dollar of what I gave at the home missions conference. God is so good. And you can't outgive God. And if you just let God have his way. And then the last thing, and we'll close with this, the way we worship. We're trusting God in the way we worship. Verse 47 says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." I will delight myself. That means enthusiastically enjoy the commandments of God. Is it a bore to you or a tedious thing to always try and find out? And God is just, he expects so much from, and you know, and your attitude, God, get over it. Let me live my life. Well, God created us. God owns us. And when we love and trust God, that's the best thing for us. Go out and ask some of these women that are living as harlots and selling themselves on the street just so they can get a little bit of dope to punch in the vein that they can't even find anymore, and ask them how happy they are in their way of life. Now, I got saved when I was 21, but before I was 21, now I never did drugs, and thank God we didn't have drugs. I'm too old to know what drugs were. The only guy from North Central that I ever knew did drugs, he was 2 years older than me, and he went to California, and we heard that he was found OD'd out on a beach sometime, but later on I found out he didn't die, so he's still alive. But to this day, if you brought a piece of what's that stuff? Marijuana. I wouldn't know what it was. And kids, I hope you guys don't either. Do you understand? Don't get in the presence of it. Don't go with the people that try to make it sound glorious. I mean, get your running shoes on. Turn your back, because those people mean no good for you. Because that's a first step. Marijuana can be acceptable, but it's just like alcohol. Pastor Jerry said from this pulpit not too long ago, alcohol is the worst addiction in America. And look what it's done to families. Even all of us could probably point to a family member or a close friend that alcoholism destroyed their lives, destroyed their marriage, destroyed their mind. And I thank God I got saved because I was on that road to destruction. And I've never looked back and I've never been sorry. Enthusiastically enjoy the things of God. We ought to enjoy each other. Listen, I enjoy seeing all you kids come in, even when you're going to smile on your face and you look like the world's going to drop off. So I still like to see you here. I'd rather see you here than in any nightclub in America. Amen. Verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up into thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. How long is a list of things that you really get excited about? You get excited about family, football, favorite TV shows. Do you know, since Everybody Loves Raymond has gone off the air, that's the last TV show, the network show, that I've watched. Now, I shouldn't even admit that I watched it. But what's that been, over 10, 12 years ago? Connie and I used to watch it. We'd get backslidden and you know, enticed by the things. But, I mean, man, that's tame. I remember when Angela was little, I wouldn't even let her, y'all don't even know who Welcome Back Cotter is, but I wouldn't let her watch that show because I thought, well, somewhere along the line, I got to where I liked that show. It's funny. But the modern stuff, I mean, the advertisements I see during football games are enough to make me sick of everything that's going on in there. And so what do you get excited about? Football, family, favorite show, finances? Some people live for finances. I've got news for you. God owns it all. The cattle on a thousand hills. It says up there to delight, have an intense emotion towards. I worship the Lord on the inside. That means to love and adore God. I worship Him on the outside. That means to obey and emulate. Be like Jesus. So how are we to trust God in our waiting, in our walk, in our witness, and in our worship? Amen? And I hope the Lord just becomes more of a reality to you every day. And it only happens when you spend some time in God's Word. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and sharing the message. And I pray that you'd meet every heart's need. Lord, there may be someone here that if they were to die right now, they're not 100% sure they'd go to heaven. They can make sure tonight. And Lord, there may be some that just need to come spend time at an altar. Help us do what would be pleasing to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.